Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's Pacific Basin 2017 Q3 trading update call. I'm pleased to present Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Mats Berglund. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Mr. Berglund, please begin.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for joining us today. My name is Mats Berglund, CEO of Pacific Basin, and I'm joined here today by our Chief Financial Officer, Peter Schulz. As mentioned, I will start with a brief presentation, and then we will invite for questions. There are slides that you have received, or if you don't have them, you can pick them up from our webpage. Slide one I'm referring to shows the market development in the year-to-date 2017 compared to last year, with the Handysize rates on the left and the Supramax rates on the right. As you can see, spot rates have followed the same pattern as last year, but on a significantly higher level. We had the typical first quarter low during the Chinese holidays. Second quarter was a good quarter, higher rates driven by South American grain season. The third and most recent quarter was kind of in between the first low quarter and the second high. You see a marked increase in recent time of spot rates, primarily during September. We have today about $8,600 per day spot rates for Handysize and about $10,600 for Supramax. These are profitable levels. They are above the breakeven level on our owned ships. Note that there is a lag between fixing and earning. We use kind of a rule of thumb, 45 days. If rates go up in September, it doesn't really kick in during September, but 45 days ahead. It takes time before the market improvement spreads to our whole fleet, if you understand what I mean. There's not too much open days left for 2017. We'll get to that in a minute. Good news that the market has picked up to profitable levels recently. Turning to slide two, what is driving this better market? What are the demand drivers? Well, to start with, it is demand that's driving the improvement, which is good news. Clarksons Plato estimates that total dry bulk demand increased with about 4.5% for the first half 2017. They believe that the full year of 2017 will end with dry bulk demand increasing with between 5% and 6%, maybe 5.9% as per their latest estimates. Those are ton-mile numbers or effective demand, as we say. Volume increase is slightly lower, but due to longer distances, we're seeing slightly higher total ton-mile demand or effective demand. Grain, soybean in particular, is growing strong. Fertilizer growing strong. All agri products are growing at healthy levels. Bauxite is strong. Scrap steel is strong. Manganese ore growing very strong, although not that big volumes as a total commodity. We continue to see good growth into Southeast Asia of coal, into Vietnam in particular. China is showing strong import growth across all the commodities, and that's kind of significant for this year and this quarter, is that it's growth across the board into China. Iron ore, coal, that's not that important for us, but helps indirectly. Minor bulks into China is up 18% year-to-date, which is is very strong growth. Logs is also growing into China. There's one negative development as regards growth, and that is for us, and that is we're seeing fewer steel exports out of China. And it's not due to lack of demand. The demand for steel domestically in China is very strong, and steel prices have come up to such a high level in China that international buyers are buying from elsewhere, and that means that there's lower steel exports out of China. Kind of good news for iron ore imports, that steel production is high and steel demand is high. But it does mean a bit lower steel exports out of China, and it's moving from other places. That people are buying from elsewhere instead, elsewhere in Southeast Asia primarily. So we are moving with the demand, so to speak, and are lifting from other. We still do a lot from China, but also from other Southeast Asian countries. So good demand. Slide 3. Turning to our actual performance for the third quarter, we generated third quarter TCEs of 8,130 for Handysize and 9,350 for Supramax. And for the year to date, we have achieved just above $8,000 per day for Handysize and $9,060 per day for Supramax. Again, third quarter TCEs a bit lower than the second quarter, but well above the first quarter, and much better than last year, right? So we have noted the year-on-year percentage increases there on the slide. Handysize year-to-date are up 25% year-on-year, and Supermax 41% year-on-year. So good, strong improvements compared to last year. We're continuing to outperform index rates. Year to date, 19% outperformance on Handysize and 8% on Supramax. It would be higher if we were to take out the operating activity and spread those short-term days and the margin on those over our core fleet, as many of our competitors do. If we reported that way, we would show 9,650 on Supramax, and that's 15% outperformance. Slide 4 shows our forward cover, and for the fourth quarter, we have 70% of the Handysize days covered at 8,890, so almost 8,900 per day for Handysize. We have 79% of our Supermax days for the fourth quarter covered at about 10,600 per day. So not much left open for the fourth quarter, but decent levels on our cover. 2018 days, we are 14% covered on Handysize at 7,690. And 32% cover on the Supramax segment at 9,640. Handysize cover rate a bit low dollar-wise, but the percentage is also low, and this is simply a reflection of how weak the market has been in previous time. And we have only protected the most valuable contracts from utilization and high laden percentage point of view. Other third quarter highlights worth mentioning, we did the 5-vessel acquisition. Most of you recall we announced that transaction. We bought 5 ships for $105 million. 4 of the ships were Supermaxes, 1 a Handysize. All existing ships, no new orders. We paid $105 million, 84 by way of shares and 21 by way of cash. 3 of the ships are delivered so far and 2 have yet to come. We also sold our final tug a few weeks ago, so finally fully out of the towage segment, which is good. Otherwise, we're continuing to work very hard on our customer focus and keeping our costs competitive. Vessel values recently, you have a graph on slide six that's showing the Handysize values, and values are up from the extreme lows of last year. Handysize secondhand values flat in the last few weeks and months. Supramax levels are up recently. Not that many Handysize deals done, but more Supramax deals done, and values are moving up. We are in the money, we can say. The five ships we bought recently, four were Supras, and they are worth more today than what we paid for them. Worth noting that secondhand values are still more attractive than newbuilding prices, and that will help keep newbuild ordering restricted. Slide seven, returning more to the longer-term supply and demand situation, looking better there. The order book continues to shrink. We now have a combined Handysize and Supramax order book of 5.4% of the existing fleet, which is much lower than in recent years. This is the lowest level that we have had since 1999. And as you recall, we had a couple of extreme years with fleet growth of 13-14% during 2010 to 2012. So we are now down to much more manageable levels. Ordering, new vessel ordering remains low in our segments this year. The annualized new ordering remains below 1% for both Handysize and Supramax. It is higher in the larger vessel segments, between 3-4% for the bigger vessels, but still much more manageable levels, and especially so in our segments. We do expect this year to have about 5% of new building deliveries for 2017, and at least 1.5% scrapping. We actually have 1.5% scrapping already now, so maybe we'll get a bit more. So that means a net fleet growth this year of, call it, between 3.2 to 3.5%, hopefully 3.2, around that number for the year. This is up from last year. Last year we had 6% deliveries and 4% scrapping, so for a net fleet growth of around 2 last year. So fleet growth is up this year due to less scrapping, right? So fewer ships but less scrapping due to the better rates. But coming years we will see fewer deliveries, and it looks better for 18 and 19. Slide 8, to recap supply and demand. Demand is back and outpacing supply. We don't have as strong demand growth as we had during 2010, 11, 12, and 13, when we saw 7, 8, 9% per year demand growth. But there's nothing wrong with the 4 to 5% that we have now. This year maybe even higher at 5.9%. Effective demand growth as per Clarkson's estimate. Fewer ships coming in 18 and 19. We do expect the net fleet growth at 2% or below 2% for 18 and 19. So if we can have demand growth of 4 or 5%, things will get gradually better. Very important, though, to watch the new build ordering, and we are urging everybody that we can to refrain from ordering new ships. Secondhand values is a better deal. Buy secondhand ships or buy a company rather than go out and speculate on ordering a new ship for future delivery. Let the market come to us this time, and let's not destroy our own market by over ordering. The other cautionary statement that we always want to make, or that we still want to make, is that there is still surplus capacity in the fleet by way of higher potential speeds. So we do not anticipate a vastly higher market, because if we do get that, speeds will increase and take a bit off that market increase. But it's certainly getting better and not worse based on the supply and demand fundamentals. It should get gradually better. We do believe we are past the worst in this cycle. Slide 9 and 10, I'd just like to repeat for you our break-even levels on the owned ships. We don't give forecasts, right, but we try to give as good guidance as we can on our break-even levels and on our financial situation. EBITDA break-even level for both Handysize and Supra, about $5,400 per day, right? That's the OPEX, the dry docking, and the G&A. So above $5,400 a day, roughly, on the owned ships. Note, I'm only talking about the owned ships. We start to generate positive EBITDA on that owned fleet. P&L, the bottom, the P&L break-even level, as per those slides, and those are from our interim report. We disclose about $7,500 a day was the cost structure for the Handysizes for the first half 2017. And you need to add to that the G&A, and we disclose our G&A to be about $600 per day spread over all the ships. If you want to be a bit more detailed, we would internally say that while the G&A spread on all ships is about $600 per day, G&A is a bit higher on the owned ships and a bit lower on the chartered ships, right? So we would maybe say about $800, a bit more on the owned ships, and about $400 per day on the chartered ships. So add $800 per day for the owned G&A, and you get to about $8,300 per day on the Handysizes to break even on the bottom line basis, and you get to just above $9,000 per day on the Supramaxes. So note that we are now fixing at above these levels. Today's spot rates, I repeat, about $8,600 a day for Handysizes and about $10,600 a day for Supramaxes. But the lag between fixing and earning, and not that many days open for 2017, but good news that we are up at these levels. Note also that we do have some cover for 2018 that are below those levels that we see in the spot market today. But looks better overall, and so long as demand is holding up at these levels and people can stay away from over-ordering, we should see a gradually better market. I'm sure there'll be some bumps on the road, seasonality, etc., but gradually better. Slide 11 and 12 repeats our business model and our strategy. Don't expect any changes there. We are happy with the structure of the company today, and we continue to work very hard on fine-tuning and improving our business model further. Working on customer service, working on our high utilization rate. We will continue to look at attractive second-hand vessel acquisition opportunities so long as they can generate decent payback and returns in this market that we're seeing. We believe that with the much larger fleet that we now have, remember we have increased the owned fleet from 34 ships 5 years ago to now 106. We do believe that we are well positioned for a gradually recovering and better market. And with that, I invite for any questions. Thank you for listening.
Thank
you. Over to you, operator.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for any of today's speakers, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and you will enter a queue. After you are announced, please ask your question. If you find that your question has been answered before it's your turn to speak, please press hash to cancel the request. Our first question comes from the line of Paul Dewberry from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please ask your question.
Hi, good evening, and thanks for the call, Matt. I've got three quick questions for you. First of all, you mentioned it on the call in that there is latent supply potentially could come back from vessels speeding up again. Given current oil prices, how close are you at Pacific Basin to actually seeing an acceleration of ship speed? How much higher do rates go before you start speeding up? So that's question one. Question two is that ship rates have done very well this year, but ship valuations have hardly moved. Have you got any insights or thoughts on for why just ship values aren't tracking the spot rates as closely as perhaps they have in the past? And then thirdly, with the new low sulfur rules coming, your view on either installing scrubbers or switching to pure low sulfur fuel. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Paul. On the speed, the whole fleet has sped up, and certainly our ships have gradually over recent times since the lows of early 2016. So we kind of would say that we are halfway through the extra capacity by way of speed. If we call the practical low speed average in the fleet at about 10 knots and the practical high at about 13, we are about in between there. We tend to respond a bit quicker since we are an operator, etc. So our speeds are maybe closer to 12 knots, but the average overall fleet is in between or low 11 knots. Depends a bit on how you define this, etc. But the fleet speed has come up a bit already, and it is sensitive to the oil prices, as you say. But much better with $56-$57 per Brent barrel than the $30 per barrel we had for a period. So very positive with slightly higher oil prices. But should rates go up dramatically, that extra speed will come in and take some of the good off, so to speak. But at these oil prices we have now, certainly rates can be at profitable levels without speed destroying the party. On rates going up but not values going up, well, values have gone up. You got the graph there, so second-hand values have come up significantly since the extreme lows of early 16. But I think, we got to start to get to profitable levels before we see values going up higher. Supermax values are going up as we speak. In recent weeks, this September increase in rates have triggered higher prices. It doesn't really show in the Clarkson values zone yet, but the deals that are done now are at a bit higher levels. There's plenty of secondhand. There are secondhand ships to buy out there. They're not always the best ships, but there are banks that are taking the chance now to cash in. They had a period 16 when their loan was higher than the value of the ship. Now they are back in the money, and some of the banks are forcing owners to sell. So I guess that keeps a little bit of a dip on prices going up real high. But we think there's certainly more to be had in secondhand values. The gap between secondhand values and new building prices is still significant. New building prices simply cannot go lower. New building prices are also going up a bit. Production cost is going up, labor cost is going up, steel prices are going up. So that's good news as well from a value point of view. Your third question on sulfur cap coming in January 2020, we think that is good news overall. We do believe that the industry, certainly for our segment of bulk carriers, will go for buying the low sulfur fuel rather than installing scrubbers. Installing scrubbers on so many ships, there's some 7,000 handysizes and supermaxes in the world. They're small ships. This is possible to install a scrubber, but it's a very inefficient solution, somewhat old technology. And why should the poor dry bulk owners clean up the act of the major oil companies? We think the industry will go to buying low sulfur fuel instead. That low sulfur fuel is more expensive than heavy fuel oil, and that goes back to the speed question. That is very positive. The fuel cost in our market is really a pass-through, and the effect that a higher fuel price has is that at any given freight rate level, it triggers lower speed, and lower speed contracts supply, which tightens the supply-demand balance. So we think it's unlikely that that handysizes and supermaxes will install scrubbers. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much, Matt.
Thank you for the question. Next question comes from the line of Parash Jain from HSBC. Please ask your question.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt, for your presentation. I have two questions. Maybe first, a quick one. If you're in a position to disclose the amount that you would have generated from sale of Towage business, and does it mean that you include some gain or losses as a result of cleaning up of that business? But more importantly, my second question is that when I look at your cover days, we have seen probably about 12% increase in the number of days in case of Handysize in 17 and probably close to 20% with respect to Supramax. Is it fair to assume that this is a reflection of a minor bulk business that you are involved in with respect to the increase that we have seen in 2017? As one of your slides mentioned, that import of minor agri bulk into China has gone up 18% year on year. And with that regard, if you can help us understand or visualize off that high base, will it be sustainable, or will it be prudent to imagine that 2018 can witness similar level of growth, or the level of growth that we have seen in 2017 is pretty much a reflection of how poor last few years were, and probably some amount of restocking that we are seeing. So if you can help us visualize that, probably that will be very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Parash. On the towage last sale, it is tiny. We'll check if we disclose the remaining asset value in our interim report there, but it's too small to worry about.
Okay. Perfect.
Also the result effect is minimal. On the book value for the last quarter.
Correct.
The cover. You say the cover has increased, our cover is if anything smaller than usual for.
No, not cover. The contract days, contracted revenue days.
The contracted revenue days.
I mean, on a slide 14, that if you go to slide 14, when we see that in case of handy size in 2017, we are talking about like 51,350 days versus just over 45,000 days last year. And similarly, yeah. Is it a reflection of you are gaining market share, or the minor bulk in which you have exposure has indeed grown at that pace?
No, we have gained market share, if you will, with the growth in our own fleet.
Correct.
And also we have grown our short-term activity, right? So the short-term activity is quite fluid. Right? It depends on opportunities that we see in the market. So we have been able to increase our total days, one due to owning more ships, and secondly due to a larger short-term operating activity.
Mm-hmm.
Again, demand growth overall is 4% or something like that, right? While our growth is bigger than that in our days, so that means we have taken market share overall.
And maybe, Matt, on that point, actually, what I was trying to understand is that, let's say if we can go to slide 8, and when we talk about effective demand growth of 5.9%, let's say for the sake of argument, that's the magic number, how would you say that what's the demand of the minor bulk in which Pacific Basin is involved? Where does this 5.9% stack to? If you have ballpark some number on the back of the annual calculation.
Fairly even growth across the board this year. If we look at Clarkson Plato's estimate for the full year, they have almost the same growth for iron ore, coal, and minor bulks. You know, within minor bulks, there's some big discrepancies there. But overall, a minor bulk is also along these numbers. Those are volume growth numbers. Possibly slightly lower minor bulk volume growth than iron ore and coal for 17. But within minor bulk, there are some commodities that grows
did well,
much higher. Right? I mentioned them earlier, right? The strongest is
soybean, bauxite,
fertilizer, scrap steel is strong. Manganese ore is a very high percentage, but it's a low commodity volume-wise.
Correct. Now, that's very, very helpful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for the questions. Next question comes from the line of Joe Liu from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Matt, and thank you very much for hosting the call. My question centers around market rates, slide 1, Handysize and Supermax. Handysize especially over September, October. We've seen rates pick up, and it looks to be much earlier than last year. Can you give us a sense why you think that's happened? And link to that perhaps what your customers are telling you in terms of what they see in demand over the next few months. Thank you.
I think the increase is due to, again, the fundamental supply-demand balance getting better, and again, the fact that we have kind of growth across the board this year, right? During previous years, we've had some very negative developments. Coal in particular, right, saw big reductions during a period. Coal is back growing now. But grain is the biggest demand driver for our segment and for us, right? Agri product is our biggest commodity, and construction material second highest. The development this year saw strong grain exports out of South America, right? The South American grain season typically highest in the second quarter, but volumes out of Brazil kept quite high also during the third quarter, and I think that has helped. And you know what we're seeing now is the start of the North American grain season, and we're kind of starting from a tighter level to start with. So likely the turnaround that we're seeing now, you know, you can see a little turnaround even last week during the Chinese holidays. Rates improved a bit again, and it's the U.S. Gulf grain season kicking in with soybeans starting to move. Again, there are some talk about logistical delays due to the hurricanes, due to low water level in the Mississippi, etc. But you know, from what we hear, there's plenty of cargoes in the works there, and I think that is why rates are moving now. You see Panamax rates moving up as well, which also carries a lot of grain. So you know, to the extent that we get the typical grain season, that should help support levels. 2015, we had a horrible fourth quarter, as you recall. But again, that was much due to different supply demand fundamentals. You know, the fleet was growing faster, demand was slower, and we saw a massive reduction in coal. So you know, keeping our fingers crossed, things will remain decent and at the levels we're seeing now.
Matt, so also linked to the demand equation is that we've seen a lot of press and news coming out of China linked to industrial activity slowing down to sort of reduce pollution and be more environmentally friendly. I'd be quite interested in hearing your thoughts on whether that will have a negative impact on demand for dry bulk over the winter months.
Well, we haven't seen that so far, right? And again, coal is growing strongly, also due to last year levels being lower, right? But looked at the coal imports to China, they are not back up to the highs of 14, etc., before the reductions started. I think the imports peaked at 350 million tons per year annualized or something in that period, and then we went down, you know, to about half of that, and now we're up to maybe 300 million tons per year annualized. So we're not seeing any sign of that so far. Again, steel demand, steel production continues at very high levels. You know, coal into China, coal China overall is among the most difficult things to forecast, right, with political decisions affecting it, pricing, arbitrage. You know, it does make sense for them to import cleaner coal from Australia and elsewhere than to continue to produce some of their domestic poor quality coal. And again, same thing we've seen with the iron ore, right, that you've seen a gradual replacement of domestic production for imports. Again, we don't see and we don't hear any evidence of that. And in fact, as I mentioned, right, while steel production continues at a very high level, steel exports is reducing, so that must mean that they're using more domestically, right? So no slowdown seen from our point of view so far. Remember that China is not everything for us, right? It's everything for a Capesize company, an iron ore company. But you know, North America for us is bigger than China. Of course, China is important, but we are much more diverse in our geographical exposure. And you know, with world economy growing better overall, what do we have now? 3.6% or something, and it's typically unusual to see dry bulk demand growth below GDP levels. So we're hoping that demand is back up to decent levels, 4-5%. We would be happy with that, and if we can keep supply in check, it should get gradually better.
Thank you very much, Matt. That helps.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you for the question. Next question comes from the line of Andrew Lee from Jefferies. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hi. Hi, thanks for your time. A few questions for me. Could you give us a little bit of guidance in terms of how much capacity in terms of revenue days you will have for the rest of this year and into next year as well? The reason I ask that is if I look at your committed days, it's actually significantly lower for 2018 versus 2017. So I'm just looking for a little bit of guidance. Second question is, you mentioned earlier that you've increased your speed from 10 to 12 knots. If that's happening for the industry, how much additional capacity has that brought back into the market? Final question is, you're going to continue your strategy of buying second-hand vessels. Freight rates have actually increased significantly. Vessel prices have not moved yet. Are you finding it more difficult to locate second-hand Japanese-built vessels? Yep, that's all for me.
Thanks, Andrew. The 2018 committed days are much smaller than the actual days for 17, because we're only showing the committed days. You know, especially for Supramax, you will recall that our fleet is made up of a very high proportion short-term chartered in days. So you should anticipate that we will add a lot of short-term days that are not yet committed, but when we come to the end of 18, we will have, you know, used a lot more days again, as we did in, you'll see the same pattern if you go back to last year, right, that the committed days is always smaller than what we had actually for the year. But it's an opportunistic activity, and we will only, you know, take in, you know, some of the short-term activity we will always do to kind of, you know, trade around our core fleet. But some of that activity is opportunistic. It can go up and down. You know, one of the main reasons for why we have increased the short-term activity, especially on the Supermax side, has been steel parceling. And as I mentioned to you now, there's less steel coming out of China. You know, there could be a scenario where we use a little bit less days, but we are also working hard to build up the or to do the steels out of other countries instead. So we can't give any exact guidance on where that will end up, other than the fact that we have increased our overall activity in 17 compared to 16. I think you shouldn't assume that it will continue to grow. I think you should assume that it will be kind of flat as things look now. And one of the reasons for why the total had grown is the owned fleet growing as well, right? And I'll revert to that in a second. The speed increase, this is coming gradually, right? So this is not, you know, from last month to this month or something. This is from the very, very low freight rate period and the very low oil price period to now. And, you know, an increase in one knot, you know, if you go from 10 to 11 knots, it's not a 10% increase in capacity, because about one-third of the time you're in port. So you need to prorate that speed increase with the time that you're in port and loading and discharging and maneuvering, etc. But one knot means maybe, you know, 6 or 7% effect on the capacity. So speed is incredibly important, and that's why we're reminding people of that. And, you know, the fleet, we don't need a larger fleet overall. Buy secondhand ships and don't anticipate that we're going to see $20,000 per day, because that will kick in that higher speed. Our strategy continued to buy secondhand ships. Yes, we are continuing to look, but I think it's fair to say that you know, we have done so much already, and that we will be restrictive. We will be selective. We will only add more ships if we get very good deals, very good ships. Yes, it's not difficult to find ships to buy, but it is difficult to find really good ships. think we had a really unique opportunity in the last deal we did, buying ships from Imabari and Tunishi, you know, very high quality ships, reputable owners who took part shares as payment. We're happy to have them as owners. And we could grow while maintaining our balance sheet strength. But, you know, we really want to deliver on everything that we have done. We want to get into a bit of a harvesting period. We want to be able to pay dividends. And we will be selective and restrictive in growing further. We will, of course, look and not miss any good opportunities. But don't anticipate, you know, something major or dramatic because we've done so much already. Hopefully that's some guidance.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 and wait for a name to be announced. If there are no further questions, we will now begin closing comments. Please go ahead, Mr. Berglund.
So, thank you very much again for your interest in our company and for dialing in. Don't hesitate to follow up with further questions to Peter, Mark, myself, or Emily as you see fit. Thank you very much.
This concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending.